Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. I'm in New York City, and it's a cloudy but semi-warm day, and it's like 2 o'clock on my time. And, well, first I have to tell you that I got a new sponsor, but before I play that commercial, let me tell you about the show. Last night I saw a show at Lincoln Center called Shen Yun. And I have to say, this is like a one-of-a-kind show. And we're going to have a couple of people on to talk all about it. But first, I have to have my new sponsor.
ACL, anterior cruciate ligament. The tear will bring tears, and while the rest of your team may be taking a knee, you'll be grasping yours. Anterior cruciate ligament will feel more like anterior excruciating ligament. You hear that loud pop and feel the pain. Your knee swells as you are assisted off the field and an ice pack is applied. For some, the pain and swelling will subside and may simply become a minor nuisance. For others, a significant disability. Able Orthopedic and Sports Medicine can bring you back in the game, specializing in arthroscopic ACL knee reconstruction surgery. It's a minimally invasive procedure that rarely requires hospitalization. With healing, recovery, and appropriate therapy and rehabilitation, you could be returning next season. Let Able Orthopedic return the able and disable. Able Orthopedic and Sports Medicine is located at 76-55 Austin Street in Forest Hills, New York. Call them at 718-897-2228 or visit them at their website at www.ableorthopedic.com. Able Orthopedic asks, "How's your ACL?"
Yes, and I wrote that commercial. Yay, me! Okay, so let me get back to this in terms of Shen Yun. And so we're going to begin. Let's see. I got two people. Let's see which ones I got. Where's one? Ah, you're both on. Hi, Ruby.
Hi, this is Jean.
Hello.
I got you both. Okay. The thing I wanted to talk about first, I know, Ruby, I know you want to get into whole history and the culture, et cetera, but what I would like to first get into is the show itself, because I want to kind of describe what it is that I was seeing and hearing. So can we, like, kind of, like, well, first of all, Shen Yun, what is it? What does Shen Yun mean, by the way?
Okay. Well, I'll probably start first. Hi, Merle and everyone. How are you? So Shen Yun, actually, it means heavenly beauty dancing. So Shen Yun is two Chinese words, and the meaning of it means heavenly beauty dancing. So it's a very beautiful word. Why heavenly? Because Chinese culture is divinely inspired. What it means and refers to is, for thousands of years, China was also known as the Celestial Empire or the Divine Land. And this means it was a land, refers to a land that where divine and mortal coexisted. And for thousands of years, ancient Chinese believed that arts and culture are gifts from heaven. So this Chinese culture are divinely inspired, and this is what actually inspired the name of Shen Yun.
So
do you want to continue to describe about Shen Yun? And what you will see?
Yes, I first want to go into it because I want to people to get that it's being performed right now. It's being performed in New York City at Lincoln Center. This is, and I understand that the Shen Yun, that the group is originally is a New York based group. Am I correct?
Yes, it's a New York based group. Okay. Not from China. It's all made in USA.
So, for clarity, if when they're doing the shows in other cities in the United States, are they taking the people from New York, or is there different bases in each of the cities that you're doing it?
There are three companies. They're all based out of New York. One is touring in the United States, one is touring in Europe, and the other is touring in Asia. And each company has about 100 performers, about 40 dancers, and 35 in the orchestra, and extra people to help out. So it's quite a production.
Oh, okay. So this, is it New York City that this is based in, or just in New York State?
It's New York State, Orange County. It's really great. They have a high school and a college, HN College, where these performers study and train in this ancient dance form that's been rather lost in China. So they're reviving this beautiful art form and supporting these young performers in the process.
That's great. When I do my next trip to Orange County, am I allowed to like check it out?
Well, we'll see if that's possible. We'll do our best.
Okay. Now let's get back. Let's get to the show itself, so people can kind of get a sense of what they'll see. And I understand, as I was checking, there were two singers last night. Am I correct that even though they list four different singers in the program, they only used two? Was it the same soprano who sang a few songs and the same tenor? Ruby?
Jean was there last night.
Merle, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
I love the singing, but that's sort of not... I'm not as knowledgeable as a singer. I guess you were paying closer attention than I was. I've seen the show many times, and I'm so happy to see it each time, but I'm afraid I don't want to say the incorrect answer.
Okay. I thought I was looking at the photos in the program, and when I looked back, because I saw that there were actually four, and then I said, oh, no, four of them didn't sing. I think the same soprano sang each of the songs that she sang, and the same tenor did that, looking at the photos. I just wanted to make sure. But then, okay, let's go with my observation. The heck with it.
Okay, I'll get the correct information, but I don't want to say the wrong thing, Merle.
Yeah.
You got me.
All right, so getting back to the show, what we have is what would you call them, MCs?
Yes, MCs.
Okay, and I was looking at the program. Would you happen to have their names?
One is Lishai Lemish and Kelly. I'm drawing a blank on her last name.
I think is it Jiang maybe?
Because I didn't notice their names in the programs. That's why I was kind of wondering.
Yeah,
okay, let's not worry about it. Okay, one of them
did. I'm just drawing a blank on her last name. I apologize.
That's okay. The guy did it in English, and the woman did it in Chinese. Talked in Chinese.
Well, the guy who spoke English also spoke Chinese.
Yes, I mean, he spoke Chinese, but basically he was telling us what was going on in English and the other one in Chinese. Although I have to say that the Chinese one, like her voice sounded so much nicer as she when she was describing it.
Well, I'm not going to tell Lishai.
It's like, you know, like she could have said anything in any language, and it would have sounded nice. You know what I mean? But anyway, so now let's get into this thing, into the program itself, and as to what people saw. So, describe what people saw as the first curtain went up.
Well, what people saw will be classical Chinese dance, which have thousands of years of history, and it is very beautiful to watch. And classical Chinese dance is one of the most comprehensive dance forms in the world, alongside ballet, and it is very expressive. And because of its expressiveness, it is the best medium to tell stories. So you will see many performances. Some are just pure classical Chinese dance with beautiful costumes, all very colorful, and all the costumes are handmade and all very well researched. Looking back to presenting the different eras of time that it tried to present of the over 5,000 years of different dynasties, because different dynasties have different styles, so they really research back to the different dynasties they want to present and different styles. But also they also have story-based dance that can tell stories. So, for example, I think last night they have one story of Journey to the West, which is one of the four classic novels in China, which is also known as the second most referenced book in the world. And Journey to the West, for those people who don't know about it, is based on a historical figure about a monk in the Tang Dynasty 1500 years ago, went all the way to India to retrieve the Buddhist scripture back to China. And he was protected by a pig called Pixie, and also an ogre, Farah Sen. So it's a very interesting journey. And there are also other stories as well. So it's a classical dance, but also because China is a very diverse city, so Shen Yun also presents other ethnic and folk dances, because there are over 50 ethnic groups in China. So Shen Yun wants to present a complete picture of China with all the other ethnic groups, including, like, I think I'm sure you saw the Tibetan dance, and also there are other Mongolian dance as well. So yeah, it's a beautiful classical dance performance.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is when the first. I guess I'll have to call them acts. Each of them is like an act that came on, if you want to call that. And as the first act began, I mean, the thing that was the most, one of the most noticeable things was the backdrop. Can either of you describe what that whole digital backdrop was about? Am I getting a no?
No. I think what you're talking about, when the curtains open, what you see is, I mean, there's this incredible scene. There's this, in the back, there's a digital backdrop that's animated. And so when the first curtain first opens, you see a heavenly scene, and you see heavenly warriors descending down to earth, chasing after this red dragon. And it's a story of good and evil and how that begins to play out in the human world. But, you know, it's this incredibly animated backdrop where you see these images on the screen, and then the next thing you know, this devil-like creature appears on the actual stage. So there's a real... Actually, Shen Yun invented this digital backdrop, which has never been used before, where the digital backdrop actually interacts with the performers. I mean, I think it's particularly great in the one, like, the how the Monkey King came to be. I mean, it's very, you know, one of the things I was struck by last night as watching it along with you, Merle, was, you know, how funny it is and, you know, how much fun and mischievousness and joy there is in the show when you watch it.
Yes, that too. There is humor.
And you,
definitely
you
there is humor.
And you certainly know about humor. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why. That's what one of the things that made it, that made this show so unique, is having that. I mean, and I'm sure, like, not just the kids, but everybody, it was like, you had to, like, you know, blink twice and go, wow, you know, and the timing obviously has to be so perfect that when the animation is like coming toward. Approaching, you know, the bottom of the backdrop, if you want to call it, that it actually now someone springs from there, and if they're approaching the sides, then dancers or people are coming off from the sides of the stage just around that time. So it really, really looks like they're popping out of the screen, literally.
Yeah, I particularly like it when the Monkey King explodes out of the mountain and he kind of descends down for, you know, on this digital screen. First he's not wearing clothes and quickly covers himself up. And the next thing he's on the stage and the audience just is roaring with laughter. And then he starts doing all these flips and jumps and, you know.
Yeah, which now brings me to, in terms of the dance itself, when you say flips and jumps, too, because it was, I guess I could, correct me, but I saw it as like a combination of like a ballet and martial arts, I guess.
Well, you know what's really interesting? People, when I first saw this, I thought, you know, the martial arts and acrobatics was added to it, but actually martial arts and acrobatics comes out of classical Chinese dance. And Ruby can probably talk about this better since she's Chinese, that the same character for dance, Wu, is the same character for martial arts.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah. So the Chinese character for martial arts is Wu, and also the Chinese character for dance is Wu, W-U. So it's the same pronunciation. So what we say is, if you take those movements to the battlefield, it becomes martial arts. And if you take those movements on stage, it becomes classical Chinese dance.
That's great. I guess that it seemed to have a pattern. Like the guys got to do that. I saw the pattern of the guys got to do that, and the women kept forming flowers. This was kind of my impression of the show.
Oh.
Well, what did you think of Mu Guiying commands the troops? Now, that's a story of a heroine leading the Yang clan into war. So I kind of disagree with you, Merle.
No, I mean in terms of on the whole.
Yes, okay.
The patterns that I saw was, I mean, you didn't see the guys forming flowers.
No, there's a real, I think what you're talking, there's a real incredible male strong energy that comes across.
Yes.
And with the women, you see this incredible, graceful, beautiful energy.
Yeah. I'm down to say that's not bad. I mean,
okay.
I just thought, and it was what I thought was incredible about that was it was like every time, it was like flowers, like a bouqueting. It's like, you know, you're starting and you're watching them just like, flourish, and we got to get into colors. This
is
Ruby, tell me about the costumes.
Yeah, well, the costumes are beautiful, as you can see. They you can see they have very well researched. As I said before. When they have a dance about maybe the Tang Dynasty time, they will research back to, okay, the Tang Dynasty time, what's the style of costume during that time? If it is the Qing Dynasty, they will research back to those time, what do they look like. So people spend a lot of time to research. So people really can experience the 5,000 years of Chinese culture, civilization, and experiencing all the different dynasties. So really, for 1 hour, people can really experience that 5,000 years of history. And all the costumes are handmade and very delicately designed and made. And they're all made to each dancer. I heard something like each year they produce over 1,000 costumes. And each of those costumes cost probably about $2,000 to $3,000.
Wow.
So it's So it's definitely a very great piece of art in itself, clothing. But also talking about clothing, I was talking about the different style of different dynasty. It really represents the culture, Chinese culture, because even like for example the color of the costume. Say for example in the ancient time. People are not allowed to wear the color yellow. Do you know why? Actually, I don't know whether you heard, yellow, the color, is actually the color reserved for the imperial family. So only the emperors or the empresses were allowed to wear the color yellow. So, and also, the style of the costumes will represent people's status of in the society, their occupation. So there are like a lot of culture and knowledge within just the clothing itself. So watching the show, you will learn a lot about Chinese culture, and also they're all very beautiful.
When in terms of, and I'm just curious, in terms of the all of the flowers, were they, those flowers, were they chosen for a particular era or something? As to why they chose the, when they were, were they just chosen for color?
You're talking about the flowers?
Yeah, when there were the situations of forming, I guess, the bouquets, if you want to call it. Which probably, by the way, probably would have even looked better, like if you were upstairs, huh?
Those flowers, definitely chosen to make the dance look beautiful, and also the color of the dance.
Were these flowers? The flowers are these like flowers that grew in China,
Like for example, they have flowers, lotus leaves. That for example, one of the dances is called lotus leaves, and lotus is a very well known kind of flowers, Chinese flowers. I think that represent, peace and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's one. And there are other cherry blossom as well, which is also another type, a company kind of represent Chinese style flowers. They are like a kind of Chinese style flowers.
Now, the next thing I want to get into is the music, which was in itself just quite great. So was there one composer or several composers?
I believe there are several. Jean, do you know more about it?
I think there's quite a few. I don't really know how many. But, yes, I think there are quite a few composers. And all the music is completely original, along with the dances as well.
Oh, that's great. So,
every year it's a whole new program. So, if you had the chance to see it in January, it would have been the same show January as in April, but next January it's a completely different show.
Oh, okay. That's Well, that's good to know in case people who will miss it this year will get to see it next year. Or people who said did see it this year will see it next year and be just as happy.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, as far as, let's talk about the orchestra. There was, and I understand there were both Chinese and Western instruments.
That's right.
What type of Chinese instruments were there?
Well, there were many. There were, like, for example, pipa, which is also known as the king of the Chinese folk music. Also, erhu, which is a two-string Chinese violin, which have they call it soul-stirring sound. I mean, which has like a sound that is closest to human voice. Also, there are like dizi, which is kind of the Chinese flute. Also, there are the gu, which is a Chinese drum. There's the gong at the back. I think there are like Chinese harps as well, which make really beautiful sounds. There are a whole range of Chinese instruments that make beautiful harmony on top of those Western instruments like Western strings, percussion, woodwinds, and brass. So yeah, the two systems, in order to put them together, it's actually never even heard of before, because the two systems, the tuning are completely different. So in order to put them together, it's almost impossible. I heard a comment before by a Vienna composer. After seeing Shen Yun, he actually said, whoever did it is a genius. So Shen Yun composers are able to do that and actually make harmony out of it. It's really something everyone can appreciate. And you enjoyed it a lot as well last night. And every time when I sit there and listen to it, the music is just so beautiful. Beautiful and really, it's really top class. And the orchestra is top class. Like, I don't think anywhere you can hear that.
Although, also, I was looking in the program book, they list three composers. There may be more than that, but, you know, I know there are at least three.
Oh, okay. I noticed that it was nice to see a woman conducting the orchestra.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that typical or atypical or not in terms of Chinese, culture to have a woman conduct?
Let me think. I will say, I would say it's not uncommon. I've seen women conductors before. I think for Shen Yun, it's really, there's no boundary of races or gender. Like, people just come together with the mission to revive the 5,000 years of traditional Chinese history and culture, and we want to present that to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we all come together.
Okay. One of the other questions I had that I kept thinking about during the show, because I'm sure they might have mentioned, but it's like when the singers would sing, you know, we would see on the screen what the translation was, we'd see up there. And there was a word that they kept on saying. Was it, I think it was DAFA? D-A-F-A?
Yeah.
What does that mean? They would be singing about something having to do with DAFA, D-A-F-A.
It translates as the Great Fa or the Great Law. It's based in Buddhism and meditation practice?
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was a character or something. I kept on seeing that, and I'm going, why are they using that word all the time? And I think it was in capital letter. It had a capital letter. So that's why I was wondering if it was a name or not.
It's a meditation practice that's rooted in traditional Chinese culture, you know, in Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism.
Okay. Now I get it. Okay. It was nice to have to interject having a singer, because I wondered about that. I said, okay, is this going to be all dancing? And then all of a sudden we had some singers, and that was a nice thing also. I mean, it's like the show had everything. One great show.
I agree. I mean, to me, it's just so incredibly beautiful. You know, what you were asking about before with the costumes. I mean, I just love the combination of colors. And as the dancer moves, there's one piece called the flowing sleeves, and those are water sleeves. And it's kind of an extension of the dancer's arm, and the dancer moves and the sleeve moves, but then the dancer changes her move and yet the sleeve is still flowing in the air there. And there's so many things like that. With the patterns on the costumes, many of them are transparent, so they make different forms and changing patterns. It's just like it's a feast for the eyes, you know.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe the show. It's a feast for the eyes and the ears.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know. And I also love watching, you know, the different, you know, the energy of the tumbling and they're flipping in the air and the spins. It's so exciting. Yet it's, you know, the way they also move, the large group of dancers, whether it's male or female, they move in perfect synchronization. And I just watched that and I said, how on earth do they do that?
Yes, that was so great. the synchronization, and also every time an act ended, it was like the pose. It was like this photographic pose every time an act ends. It's like you want to take your camera out and just take the picture now.
Yeah, one of the synchronizations too that really blows my mind was the piece called Snowflakes Welcoming Spring. You know, they're spinning these white handkerchiefs, sometimes one on each hand, in perfect synchronization. And then they throw them in the air, do tumbling acts in between, and catch them again. I mean, and that's, you know, these white glittering, they've got sequins on them, so they're glittering, so they're visually so interesting. And then the backdrop is this incredibly gorgeous picture of the pinks and greens of spring with snowflakes coming down with these dancers in these costumes and these spinning handkerchiefs, you know. It's like,
Amazing. I know, that was wonderful. There was just so, that's why when you said a feast for the eyes, it's the best, what I appreciated about the show is, you know, it's like if you go to a Broadway show, I know people go, they'll see a show like, you know, 10 times and whatever kind of thing. But with this, it's not like you're like, oh, here's the plot, here's the beginning, here's the end, and it's just keep watching. It's like just watching and listening, just constantly watching and listening. You don't even have, I mean, we will get into the whole culture end of it, but if you don't even want to grasp what the entire thing is about, it's just sitting there and being there. And
being entertained.
Being entertained. But, well, okay, so Ruby, you want to now we can talk about what this whole thing is about and why isn't it allowed in China?
Okay, well, I was just saying before, I mean, even like for me, I was just thinking, I'm Chinese, I was born in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is already a little bit better because when I was there, I was it was under the British government. So it wasn't under communism. So I think the Chinese culture was preserved a lot better in Hong Kong. But even that, in school, we didn't really learn a lot about Chinese culture. It is only when I come across Sheng Yun, I learned so much more about Chinese culture, about the 5,000 years of civilization, about all the different dynasties, about what really Chinese culture is all about. Now I know, actually, traditional Chinese culture, it actually means culture of spirituality in everyday life. And what it means is, as I said before, Chinese believe culture and arts are actually gifts from heaven. And in order to accept this magnificent culture, people really live their life according to a high moral standard, and they have respect for divine beings. And so traditional Chinese culture is really a culture of a spiritual self-discipline and veneration for the divine. That's true Chinese culture. And Chinese culture and values are basically very much influenced by three school of thought: Buddhism, with Taoism, which so and Confucianism. So Buddhism was founded by Shakyamuni. Taoism was founded by Laozi, and Confucianism was founded by Confucius. And those three school of thought are the bedrock of Chinese culture and civilization. And all that was developed, and Chinese values and culture also are basically developed under the influence of those three school of thought. So the concept of, for example, man and human must be in balance, or respect heavens to know one's destiny, those concepts. So all that is actually the real traditional Chinese culture. But unfortunately, in recent years, since 1949, the Chinese Communist Party took over China, they have systematically destroyed traditional Chinese culture. So over the last 63 years, it has been seen as the dark age in Chinese history, because the 5,000 years of Chinese culture and civilization has been destroyed. And why did they do it? It's because Chinese Communist Party's philosophy is atheist ideology, which means that they don't believe in divine beings, which is in contrast to the traditional Chinese culture. So in order for them to continue and survive, they have to destroy the traditional Chinese culture. So, and how do they do that? Well, they organize campaigns after campaigns, then they launched, for example, the Great Leap Forward, or the most notably the Cultural Revolution in 1966 to 1976. So during that time, many of temples, books were burned down or burned. Many scholars, monks, nuns were persecuted. The Confucius memorial was pulled down in front of his house. All that destroyed. So, and because of this continued destruction, and still continue to today, now the China today, the moral standard is now dropped to record low. And what we see in China today is very different to what it used to be in China over the last 5,000 years. So, and this is why Sheng Yun, this is why Sheng Yun comes about. And Sheng Yun makes it a mission to revive the 5,000 years of Chinese culture and civilization after the communists have destroyed it. And this is why you won't be able to see Sheng Yun in China or those performers from China, they would not have the essence of traditional culture. And Shen Yun was made in USA, as Jim was talking about. It was based in New York. It's a New York-based company. And we are very proud of it. I myself, after learning about coming into Shen Yun, helping out, promoting it, and also watching it many times. And even every time when I watch it, I still learn something new. Because I think those culture and civilization of 5,000 years is just so rich and profound. And also I feel that it's very universal as well. A lot of those traditional values like honesty, compassion, respect for parents that they present in the show, I think it's universal and also beyond the boundaries of race or gender or things like that. So I really appreciate what Shen Yun is doing, and I think it really is not just a performance. It's almost doing something good for humanity. It's bringing people hope and meanings of life. A lot of people after seeing Shen Yun, they just feel so moved and inspired by it, and a lot of people even say they feel like a new person after seeing Shen Yun. So, so we hope that more and more people will have the opportunity to see it. And it's the last chance now. It's going to end in Sunday, last chance of this year to see it in New York.
Right. But is it going to another state?
City? It's just coming to an end, to end of the season. It only have a couple of cities that remaining that it will show. So if people want to see it this year, they should come to see the New York show. There's one show tonight and four shows on the weekend. But basically, I can tell you all the weekend shows are basically sold out. And they just this week added the Sunday night show. So I think... if they want to see it, if anyone wants to see it, they need to buy tickets very soon because otherwise all the tickets will be gone.
But after today's date, I mean, in terms of this year, are there any other cities that are going to have it?
I'm just having a look.
Ruby and I promote Shen Yun locally in the New York area, so we're not really so involved.
Oh, okay.
We're not so involved in what cities it travels to. I mean, it was just in D.C. before it came to New York. I don't particularly know the schedule off the top of my head.
They can go to Shen Yun
PerformingArts.org, and then they have a whole list of the cities where it is located.
Oh, okay.
But, I'm just looking at it now. After New York, actually New York and Chicago are happening at the same time. The next one is Chattanooga in TN, and then Dayton in Ohio, and St. Petersburg in Florida. And there are only three more shows this year for U.S.
Oh, okay. This is internet, so it's not, so in case people don't feel like coming to New York, they could see it, you know, someplace else, and it's just as good, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. One of the things I also wanted to get clear about is in terms of the program is. Are each of the acts like is it in a timeline? Is you know starting with a particular era and is and keeps going? That in other words, each act you see is a different era in Chinese, and then comes up to modern. Or is that the way it is, or not?
My understanding is. I think from the beginning, the first act It's about the beginning of time and looking at like the start of the Chinese civilization. And then the last act is about modern time. But in between, I think it's kind of mixed. And it's mixed with different singing and dancing and different eras.
I just found the names. I just found the master ceremonies names.
So what's Kelly's last name?
Kelly Wen.
And Li Shai Lemish.
And Li Shai Lemish.
Okay.
And it goes, I was looking at the last, I'm going crazy, going through this whole book and say, I can't believe they're not featured or anything. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at the last act, and at the bottom it says, Kelly Wen and Li Shai Lemish, Master of Ceremonies.
Okay, I'm glad you found it.
Yeah, you think they'd give him a better spot, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I'll mention that to them and say you said so, Merle.
Yeah.
And I'm so embarrassed. I know where it's Kelly, and I'm like, what's your last name?
How many times, let's see, who saw the show the most? Which of you?
Oh, no, I have no idea. I mean,
like how many times?
I never get tired. I have no idea. I've never kept record, but I, you know, like this time it's, how many shows have we had, Ruby? Eight shows, I think. And I will see every one of them. So, and that it's many years. I never get tired of it. It's just always fascinating to me. I see things each time I've never seen before. So.
And also kind of depends, well, not where you sit, but how close or far away you sit. Of what you'll notice or not notice, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a person who tends to like to sit really close in front. You know, my husband likes to sit in the back, but I like to sit really close. I like to see the expressions of the dancers. But like last night, I was watching. I was in the last ring of the mezzanine. I mean, last row of the first ring, and it seemed like the best seat to me because I really got to see, you know, the whole thing unfolding. And, you know, when you see the whole backdrop and all the movements, dances, I realize when I'm sitting up close, I miss a lot of that. So I'm very happy wherever I sit. And actually, I like to sit in different seats just for that reason, to get a different perspective.
Yeah, especially and because you were like when the first ring, so you're a little higher up. And you know, you could see certain things from a different perspective.
Absolutely.
From looking down a bit.
Yeah, you see the patterns more than if you're up really close to. And sitting back like that, it was just so majestic. So.
I also
like sitting up close and seeing their expressions because they're so serene and so peaceful. I mean, the expressions on the dancers' faces. It's like, you know, you see performers perform and they smile, but you know, their smiles when they dance, it seems to, you know, come from within. It's very genuine.
Yes. I could see that even from as far back that I was. I could see enough of their expressions. I don't know how much whether it was the makeup or what. I mean, but although I'm used to, like, when I go to Broadway shows that I'm reviewing, I'll be getting I'm usually sitting, you know, closer toward the stage, you know, so I could see everybody. But sometimes I do kind of wonder if you're sitting far back, if you miss something because you don't see an expression. But I saw enough. It was just. I hate to use the word delightful. I have to come up with some other words, but.
Well, you know, it's delightful, it's beautiful, it's joyful, it's humorous, it's mischievous. I mean, you know, how mischievous is that Monkey King or the Little Monks? You know, it's that crazy Monk G who's on stage. You know, it's,
yes, that was cool. That was really cool. Yeah, one thing is like it doesn't matter if you told somebody the plot of each of them, of each of the acts, it wouldn't matter.
What do you mean, girl? What do you mean?
Well, in other words, it's not like, oh, don't tell me that plot. Don't tell me what it's about.
Oh,
oh, I think for myself.
It, absolutely.
You can describe the entire show to somebody. They can look at the program and read it all, and it doesn't pop out into their minds until they actually see it.
Right. Well, there are 22 acts. Did you have some favorites, Merle?
And they were, no, actually, they were all so great. It was like there was nothing. I would have to go through each of them. I mean, my favorite, anything with humor is always a favorite to me.
Okay.
And the things that had humor and the things with the flowers, because in terms of the eyes, and I think that stood out. And some of the more, I have to think how you would call it, when like so many people were involved in one.
The large scale dances, you mean?
Yes.
What I also really love, too, is, you know, because it's a new show every year, and I'm fascinated with Chinese culture, you know, and I think Ruby mentioned there are like over 50 ethnic groups in China. So each time I see it, I'll see a different ethnic group there, you know, the costumes they wear, the dance styles that they do. In this particular piece, one of my favorites was the Dance of the Qiang. And they just, you know, they're just so lively and playful there and so joyful and happy. I mean, it's, or, you know, I always like the Tibetan dances or on the Mongolian plains. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's like in my mind, I guess the visual is, I can't help. I love flowers. I love looking at flowers, and the whole visual of it, and of the dance part itself, and then the ending of it was so.
Oh,
in terms
of the pose.
Yes, it's like I'm going to the Bronx Botanical Gardens. That kind of a thing.
I was going to just say, I think also, Meryl, you see the beauty of the dance and flowers. Also, that's the unique thing about classical Chinese dance, and as I was saying before, classical Chinese dance is very expressive. It's really beautiful just to watch it. And like another expression you were talking about, and also there's something that I don't know, maybe I mentioned last time, is that classical Chinese dance has three components. The first one is form, which is the physical a structure of the dance. And the second component is technique, which is all the athletes and challenging tumbling techniques. And the third one is yin. Yin is a Chinese word. It's a bit difficult to explain in English, but probably the simplest way to explain it is the bearing of the dancer or the soul of the inner meaning of the dance that the dancer tries to convey to the audience. So, and because of this yin, that component, it makes classical Chinese dance very beautiful to watch and expressive. I'm sure apart from the beauty and the costume and the color, I think those inner message from the dancer also make it so kind of beautiful to watch and expressive to watch. I think that's why it's just a very beautiful performance to watch and experience. And it's an experience. I always tell people it's not just a show, it's an experience that people have to experience once in their lives.
How many years has this been, Shenyun been going, by the way?
It's established in 2006, so just 6 years.
Oh, and has it always been at Lincoln Center, or is this just the first year there?
No, prior to that, it was at Radio City Music Hall, but Lincoln Center turns out to be sort of a much better location for the performance.
Now I'm really curious. When they did it at Radio City Music Hall, because I have this in my head that I had seen something at Radio City Music Hall, and it wasn't the, it was something, well, not as definitely not as expressive as this, because I would have really remembered. But it was like pretty much kind of a thing. And I don't know if that was something that I had seen or not. Or do they do something there for Chinese New Year's or something? Because when was the last time they did it at Radio City?
Shenyun was first performed in Lincoln Center, I think it was a year ago last January is when it premiered at Lincoln Center. And then prior to that, it was at Radio City for a few years.
Okay. I'll have to look back at some of my articles and see if that was what I wrote about. Okay. So how often does the cast keep rehearsing all the time, or is it like, okay, you know, it's the season is over and, well, you know, you're off for like 6 months, or is it not like that?
No, nothing like that. From what I understand, maybe Ruby can add more. I mean, they go right back to work because they have to create a whole new program for the next year. And so they work intensely, and those that are still studying have their studies to do as well. So, but they rehearse from morning till night. I haven't been there while they've gone through the rehearsals, but I hear it's a very long day, and they work very, very hard. It's very intense.
I just happened to come across a notice about the audition. The audition for dancers and also the orchestra last night. I just came across that notice last night. The requirements for those like performers are to be on the a tour around the world for 5 months in a year, and the rest of the year, about 7 months, is basically rehearsal and performance. But performing, like internal performance, like they actually also need to go through exams. So it's 5 months of tour and 7 months of rehearsal and practice.
Wow.
They work all year round. And also, as Jim was saying before, they work really hard on practicing and rehearsing. And when they finish the tour, they go back and they have to start working on the next year tour and on the completely new production. I actually heard someone said before, which is in the theater production industry, when he heard that Shenyun actually do new production every year, he actually said that's a miracle. Like if you see, for example, Lion King or other performances, they basically the same show all the time. But Shenyun is every year the new production, music, all new costumes, all new dance, choreography has to be all new. All the backdrop you were mentioning before is amazing. It's just never heard of, and that's why it's an expensive production. And that's why I'll say to people, like people sometimes say, oh. The tickets may be expensive. I actually think, no, the tickets for what you get, what you see, it's actually very reasonable. In fact, I was just telling someone before, actually after seeing the show, they actually sent Shenyun a $500 check because they felt that it's worth a lot more than what he paid for. So, it's a wonderful production, and it's a lot of heart and passion involved in it to make that happen.
Well, it's definitely worth seeing no matter what seat you get, that's one thing. Even if you go, like if you're sitting on the side, it's not like you have, you know, like side curtains kind of thing, and then you'll miss something. That's one of the things that doesn't look like a problem in terms of where you sit.
Well, actually, they don't sell some of the far side seats. If you can't see the full backdrop or the full stage, they won't sell those seats.
Oh.
So they don't sell all the seats at Lincoln Center. You might see somebody like me who volunteers because they love the show so much sitting on a side seat, but they do not sell those seats to the public.
Oh, that's very good. That's
because they want everybody to have the full view.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So they could make more money by selling all of them, but if you can't see the full view, they won't sell the seat.
Oh, that's great to hear. So then there's no bad seat in the house.
No,
if you're buying a ticket. By the way, I have to tell you, I thought coincidence. We were chatting yesterday about Fairway Market.
Yes.
And I look in the program and I see an ad. I'm going, wait, why is Fairway Market advertising? And then I notice that they're a sponsor.
I didn't even know that, Merle.
I went, whoa.
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, listen. You can get some great food there. You get great show here, and then great food there.
And maybe with the influence of Shenyun, they'll have the Asian food that you're hoping that Fairway would carry.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna push it a little more. It's interesting in terms of like when I do shop at an Asian market, is what is it that I'm looking for? And I think it's a lot of. Probably the vegetables that I would more like to see. Because it's not like, and I just wanted to throw this in, only because when I'm looking for things like meat or things like that, because of the way Fairway is and has a butcher, that's the thing that's kind of in common. Because when you do go to the Asian market, when I go to the Asian markets, there's somebody behind the counter, butcher counter, and I can say what I want, which is, the thing that you can't get in most groceries. So that's a really nice thing. But I'll get all the, especially for you, Ruby, since you're vegetarian.
Yeah.
And next time, Earl, you come to see Shenyun, and I've got a feeling you're going to be coming back often, we'll get you to try different seats, close up, closer up, further away, in the balconies, and I don't think you'll find a bad seat.
Yeah, because I do. I would have liked to maybe had brought glasses. What do you call it?
Opera glasses.
Yeah, kind of thing. Just to see, every once in a while, just to see a closer, of the expressions. That's it. Just that. But other than that, I got 20/20 vision with my glasses, so it wasn't a problem at all. But yes, it would be interesting to see that, and also from a higher position, looking down at certain things. But just the whole thing was just could either of you get a sense of like how many, and I have to say, kids were there or come to see the show?
I've never seen the percentage. Have you, Ruby? Kids
to get
love
a sense.
Show. You know, it's interesting. They're mesmerized. And sometimes I feel badly that there's an age limit about how old kids can be that can come to see the show, because even little tiny ones seem to be spellbound.
I did have on one side of me there were some young uns, I'll call them, and it was interesting, like that hearing them gasping.
Yes.
Wow!
Absolutely.
Well,
it's also interesting. You can see oftentimes, coming out of the show, even, strong men with tears coming out of their eyes. They're so moved. It's not an uncommon sight.
Yeah? Really?
Oh, yeah. People come out of the shrine with eyes with tears in their eyes. They can't even just quite describe why, but they just feel very deeply moved by it.
Well, yeah, I guess you can. I mean, if and do you find, in terms of, have you kind of ever noticed, like, in terms of the, I don't want to, that's not the ethnicity that I'm, I guess, that when you have, you know, I don't want to say Americans, you know what I'm talking about, the Chinese and the other, Chinese and other. do you see, happen to notice, like, do more Chinese people are coming out more moved because it's part of their culture?
No, I don't really think so. And actually, what's interesting about Shenyin is that it really appeals to all different ethnic groups. I mean, actually, the proportion of the audience that comes to see it is more like actually 20%. And 20% Asian, and it's really, you know, more of a Western audience or a very mixed of very many different ethnic groups.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. I was kind of wondering about that in terms of who comes to see the show, whether it's, you know, people coming because it's their culture versus...
Yeah, people think it's more—it's really more for Chinese people, but actually, it's really for everyone. And you know, certainly there's a significant portion that are Chinese, but it's with, you know, around 20%, maybe up to 30, but it's not the predominant audience.
Oh,
it's
a strong
part of it.
I guess the word has gotten around of how great a production it is versus, you know, anything else. You know.
Yeah, and dance is such a, you know, the. It's interesting. Classical Chinese dance is a systemized set of movements like ballet, although it has a wider range of movements than ballet, which makes it very adept at telling stories. So it's the dance is kind of like a universal language. I mean, it's very nice having the MCs give a brief introduction about what you're going to see, but in some ways you don't even need it because it's such an expressive art form. You understand the stories just by the expressions and the movements.
Yeah, okay, so let's get rid of them and put more stuff in there.
Well, you've got 22 acts. Aren't you getting a little greedy?
what we didn't see, actually, I don't know if they ever do. Is there ever, I mean, since they're a soloist, do they ever do anything that there's a chorus at any time?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering.
No, curious, but okay. There isn't. So.
Well, did we miss anything?
Ruby.
Ruby, is there anything else you want to tell us about or talk to us about?
I think the only thing we want to tell people is go to buy tickets. Don't miss it.
Okay, so again, it's at Lincoln Center. Actually, if you Google Shenyun or Lincoln Center, that's one thing about with Google. You just Google in case you forget the website. But the website, if you do just Shenyun, which is S-H-E-N and Y-U-N, if you Google that, then you'll find all the information. Or if you just go to Lincoln Center and, you know, see what's going on, you'll find it there too. Either way, I highly suggest that you attend this show. It'd be quite interesting with my, tonight I'm reviewing a Broadway show, and it'll be the comparison of seeing, you know, a Broadway musical versus this. And I don't mean a comparison that would be the same, but in terms of the eyes and the ears kind of thing, you know, that type of thing. So that'll be pretty cool. And well, I got this on my blog, and I probably will add a little more on the blog as I remember particular things I appreciate the two of you coming on.
And I appreciated reading your blog last night.
And
I enjoyed it.
And chatting
with
me. The
exact website, if people don't find it by Google, is shenyun2012.com. And it's spelled exactly as you said.
Oh, okay. That's great. So, all right. I knew I had one question. In terms of the involvement of the TV program, well, I know that, you know, moi got interviewed. In terms of talking about the show, people can, like, if they either getting the channel or can they, like me, who doesn't get the channel, if I log on, will I be able to see the interviews, not necessarily just because I was interviewed, but so people can, they can hear people talking about the reaction to the show?
Yeah, people can either watch NTD television, which
that's
is
Newtown Dynasty Television.
Newtown Dynasty Television, that's right. So you can watch the television on Time Warner, Verizon Fios, and also WNBC, those channels in Greater New York area. Or you can go online and type in www.ntdtv.com, and you can watch the TV online. And then I think there is a section you will see. There's a banner, a Shenyun banner, and you click inside, and it's all got all the reports on audience feedback.
Oh,
and,
great.
You'll be able to see your interview there.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Newtown Dynasty Television is one of the sponsors for Shenyun.
Media sponsor.
Okay. Great. So, we'll see. Is there anything like now that this is like after Sunday? What do you guys do after that? Your own job? you'll be back just working in your own stuff, right?
Yeah, I'll be working.
All right, you guys. You both have to come into Queens, and then we'll go into downtown Flushing and have
absolutely.
Some authentic Chinese food.
Sounds good.
Like I'm not going to do that tomorrow night. I know already that after the show, I'm going to see a show tomorrow night as well in Queens, and we're all going to go into Flushing to eat. I know that already. But that's okay. Okay, guys, thank you so much. It was great hearing from you, and I hope that this will get out there and people will get to see the show.
Great, and thank you, Merle. It was a pleasure to meet you yesterday. Thank you for having us on, and, you know, I look forward to hearing your further thoughts on your blog. We'll check it out.
You got it.
Okay. Fun to meet.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. Well, I definitely recommend seeing the show. I'm going to end mine a bit. Oh, no. Wait before. Because chocolate. Oh, I have to tell you something. Wait, I have to share one thing before I do the chocolate one. I found the ice cream that I've loved for the last, I think I found it 6 years ago. I was in Ohio, in Cincinnati, and it was a company called Grater's, Graeters, Grater's Ice Cream. And I tried the ice cream, and the thing that I loved about it was I'm a chocolate chip person. No kidding. I'm a chocolate chip person. And I don't like getting ice cream like from Ben and Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs, only because they take the chocolate and they mix it with palm oil. And they, I guess they, you have to do something like that, otherwise it's too hard. Because the, you know, it's frozen. If you take chocolate and freeze it and, you know, try to chomp on it, it's a little difficult. But the problem is that I'm probably sensitive to the taste, so that's all I'm tasting. It's like, oh, I don't want coconut, I want chocolate, you know, the flavor, that flavor. And as it turns out, Grater's doesn't do that. And I said, how do you wind up doing that? And they said they put a little bit of soy oil in it just to, I guess, to, if you want to use the word, soften it or whatever. So that's what they use. So what happens is you're not and you don't taste the soy oil. It's on just enough, and you really get to taste and appreciate the chocolate. So when I would go shopping, I would kind of go, you know, I would go toward the ice cream and then say, why bother? You know, I'm not going to find anything I really like. And last week I was in my local store, not Fairway though. I have to get Fairway to get this there. But I was in my local store and it was Stop and Shop, because I think they're maybe all going to carry it. Anyway, so I was looking and there it was. There was the ice cream. I said, "Is that the same that one?" And I looked and that lo and behold, that was it. So I contacted Grater's. Of course, I'm going to have them on the radio show talk about doing this and that's how they do it in small batches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you happen to actually, if you go onto their website, just look up Grater's Ice Cream, G-R-A-E-T-E-R, apostrophe S. Look at a Grater's Ice Cream, and you can plug in your zip code and see where you can find it. So I'll be doing that. So now I had to, like, I'm going to start doing something about the best ice cream. But needless to say, we're, well, you know, what this is about, you know. What would you do, of course, to earn brownie points? Oh, give me a brownie. How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted?
Oh, just
fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Palbo dark Belgian chocolate.
When I want
but
to eat,
yes,
eat it.
They are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yeah. But you can't get those in the stores like Grater's did a good idea. You have to go to www.brownies.com. But they do have it, I think, on the West Coast. They're coming out of Phoenix. But that's okay. They're worth buying. So on the internet and getting them shipped to you, they really are. I think the next thing, I think Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is coming up, they're doing something special. In the meantime, so everybody, have a great day, morning, evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and be kind to one another. What the heck? Try it. See if it works. It's a good thing, really. Let me find. That would help if I find the ending to my show. Here we are.